It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
Well, good Monday, everybody. Good to have you listening on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And I'm delighted to be here on the broadcast with you. Gene and I, along with Leland, are ministering in Concord, California today and tonight on this Monday, Concord, California. You can go to their website at getnewhope.net. Getnewhope.net. And I know that you will be tremendously blessed if you can come out, if you're in the Bay Area, anywhere. Today on the broadcast, I'm going to play again my interview with Jamie Peters, pastor of Trinity Church International in Lake Worth, Florida. I played this on Saturday, and if some of you may have missed it, or you might want to hear it again. And Jamie, he and his wife Leah are the authors of the book No Retreat, No Regrets, Our One Family's No Exit Strategy While Serving in Africa. And they served 25 years and was there in the Burundi Rwanda war conflict that took the lives of over 1 million people. And it was just amazing what happened. But they stayed there through it all and took faith steps, and God was with them. An amazing story. He has an amazing testimony, and I'm going to share his testimony in just a moment. But first, I would like to thank you for being a part of BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, on the air now or anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America and of the spiritual awakening. So we pray, Father God, your will be done, the broadcast today here on BPN Radio. I pray that you will speak to us. I pray as Jamie Peters shares his testimony that of his amazing 25-year journey to Africa and all that he went through, the call to the world, the call to missions, that people have ears to hear. And it's not just about a ministry time in Africa, but it's about a commitment to do the will, plan, and purpose of God. And Lord, I know that there are people that are listening to the broadcast today, and they're determined to do the will of God. They're determined to do the will of God. So I pray in Jesus' name that you will speak to people this broadcast today here on BPN Radio. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast. And now I'm just going to get Jamie Peters on the line, and I know you'll be blessed by this interview with Jamie Peters. Okay, it's great to have here on BPN Radio one of my spiritual sons who is the pastor of Trinity Church International in Lake Worth, Florida. Great church that's been in operation for many years, and Pastor Jamie Peters, the senior pastor now, succeeds my brother, my friend, and longtime pastor Tom Peters, who was there for 40 years. And now Jamie and his wife Leah are leading the church, doing a great job. And it's good to have you on BPN Radio today.
Thank you, Dale. It's wonderful to be with you.
And we're gonna talk about the call of God. We're gonna talk about missions. And I know that your heart is for the world. You and your wife, Leah, have written a book called No Retreat, No Regrets, One Family's No Exit Strategy While Serving in Africa. How long did you and Leah serve in Africa?
For a total of 25 years. We went out to Africa in 1987 and returned home to take the, like you said, Trinity here in Lake Worth in 2012. We transitioned back and then officially took over from my parents November 2013, but a total of 25 years on the mission field.
Well, I was my wife Jean and I were there just before you and Leah went to Africa and saw the commitment that you made. And I know that there's a call of God upon a lot of people that may be listening to BPN, and they say, "How do I get started?" And particularly if I have a call to missions. How do I know I received a call? How do I get started? So how did you get the call to Africa?
My wife and I both sort of had different experiences. Her particular sense, what the Lord was speaking to her about Africa, came to her when she was about 8 years old in a conference, and she was asked, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And her response was to be a missionary in Africa. And then my particular sense of his call for missions came, I think it was instrumental being raised in a missions-minded church here at Trinity. It's always been, since I can remember, a missions church with a heart for the world. And then growing up through my teenager years, I was about 19 years old, and I visited Haiti with our youth group, and something was birthed in my heart for missions then. And that was probably about 1982, 1983, somewhere through there. I graduated from high school in 81, took this missions trip. It was 82 or 83 with our youth group here at Trinity. And something just got in my spirit for the nations. And I just knew at that point I had to go to the nations. And so the door began to open for different parts throughout the Caribbean. Made several trips to Haiti after that, several trips to Jamaica, the Bahamas, and just wherever a door would open. Then in 1985, we took a trip, my wife and I, to Kenya, and actually we joined another team, consisted of my mom and dad and a couple others, and we went to Kenya, and that's when we were first introduced to the continent of Africa. And so we just had in our heart to go to the nations. Just wherever I could go, wherever door would open. And then in 1986, I was able to go to Africa again. My wife wasn't able to join me on that trip because her son Tommy was only 6 months old at the time. And having, you know, never raised kids on the continent up to that point, she just had a lot of concerns or whatever. So she graciously released me to go for 2 months and came back and was really excited. At that time, I went to Congo, which was Zaire at the time. Now it's the Democratic Republic of Congo. So I went there in 1986 from a two-month trip, came back, and was wanting to so bad know what the Lord was saying to us concerning the call for missions, because we were going as doors would open, but in the back of our hearts and minds, we felt like that we wanted to go and live on the mission field and make it a career type of experience. And so, but the door didn't seem to be opening for that. But after that 2 month visit in Congo, we visited Ralph and Shirley Hagemeyer, who are heroes in our book. And so after that 2 month visit, we just really prayed and God opened that door. And the Hagemeyers were gracious to say, hey, you guys, if you feel like you want to come and serve on the continent of Africa, but you don't know where, you can come and get started with us. So we really sensed that that was what God was saying to do. We prayed more about it. We made our decision in February of 1987 and took a few months to raise our support. We didn't need a whole lot. It was just me, my wife, and our little boy Tommy, who was a year and a half old at the time. And it was just a few months later, the latter part of June 1987, we found ourselves on a plane headed towards the Congo to work with Ralph and Shirley Hagemeyer. We landed there July the 4th, 19, after spending a couple days in Kenya. We landed in Congo July the 4th, 1987. We served with the Hagemeyers for about 3 years in a couple of their Bible schools, teaching in their Bible school. And as they say, the rest is history from there.
Yeah. Well, I have seen you you and Leah, Jamie, I've seen you guys and your faithfulness, your heart for missions. Gene and I first came to Trinity Church International Lake Worth in April of 1987, just a short period before you guys took off for Africa. But we at that time visited with you, prayed with you guys, and knew the passion that is in your heart and that was in your heart then. And I can tell the passion is still in you for the world. And I know that God has set the world in your heart. And if there's anybody that's made a successful journey to the world, I know it's been you and your wife, Leah. Your kids have grown up on the mission field. And I know you have this great passion for Africa. I know that God has set Africa in your heart. Did you hear God say, go to Africa, or was it just planted in your heart?
Well, as I said, my wife really had a stirring for Africa. She had an experience with the Lord when she was 8 and knew that one day she'd serve on the continent of Africa. One day, for myself, it was a little different. It was, as I said, as a teenager, I just began to sense a stir to go to the nations. And then when that door opened for us to go to Africa, we took that opportunity. And just immediately from the time we landed, fell in love.
Yeah.
In love with the people. But God just really, just put a love for the continent in our heart. From that time.
Yeah. Well, so how did you get there? Who sent you? How did you have the money? who sent you there? Who prayed over you? How did you get there? How did you do that?
Well, it was definitely a step of faith and just with a vision and a passion to do missions, to go to the nations. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes in the Living Bible says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And so of course, you got to have a plan and you got to have spiritual authority speaking to your life. You got to seek, you know, advice and counsel from those that are over you in the Lord. There's something to be said about submitting to spiritual authority. And our elders at the time here at Trinity, recognized the call of God on our life. And of course, before we ever went, we served faithfully in our own church, or our own church here at Trinity, just doing whatever we could do. We were ushers. We were, you know, singing in the choir, and that's pretty bad if they let me sing in the choir. But I mean, I didn't care. I just wanted to serve the Lord, you know, in whatever opportunity, capacity that would allow me to do that. And then a door opened later on to work with our youth, to become an assistant to our youth pastor, got on staff, our youth pastor served, senior pastor was my dad, of course, and then became an official, full-blown associate pastor in that process, and actually became Trinity's first missions director back before we ever went to Africa. So we served faithfully, very faithfully, here at Trinity in our local church, submitting ourselves to those over us in the Lord. And then when it was time and they sensed it was the time for us to go, they laid hands on us and they released us to go to Africa to serve with the Hagemeyers. And that's very important that you go with the blessing of those over you in the Lord. We didn't go out with a big sending. That's why I said it was a big step of faith for us, because we didn't go out with a big missions board, missions organization backing. We just had the backing of our local church, which I think, you know, and of course Trinity has a vision for nations. And so they released us to go, but they were our missions board. They were our spiritual covering. And, we submitted to them and, you know, of course, obviously they supported us financially, but they didn't support us 100%. We also had to get out and do the itinerating thing and visit churches and, you know, raise support. But we had, most importantly, we had their prayer support, and we looked to them as our spiritual authority. We submitted to them, and but we faithfully served in this house, serving my dad, my mom, the elders in the vision here. And like I said, when it was time, they recognized it was the time of the Lord. They laid hands on us. As it says in Acts chapter 13, in Antioch, you know, the local mm-hmm. church, not a mission sending organization, right. but the local church in Antioch, you know, prayed over Saul, who was Saul at the time, later became Paul, but prayed over Saul and Barnabas, and it says, and they released them to go do the will of God. And so we just sort of followed that pattern of our local church laying hands on us, our elders here laying hands on us and sending us out mm-hmm. when it was time. So that's kind of how we wound up in the continent of Africa, with the support of our local church.
Right. I think your mom and dad, didn't they fly out there with you?
They did. In those days, the Hagemeyers, every end of school year, they would have a seminar for the students, and so in those days they would usually graduate a good 80 to 100 students every year. Well, so that particular time of the year, it was time for their graduation, so my parents flew out there with us. And, of course, you know, they had to get back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so that was a tough time saying bye.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
you know, saying bye to their one and only, I think Tommy was the only grandson. They may have had Matthew at the time, my nephew. I can't remember, but, Tommy was about a year and a half old. Yeah. So I don't think Matt was born at right. that time. And so, you know, they had to get on the plane, fly back to the U.S., leaving their only son and daughter and only grandson on the continent of Africa. But they knew it was right, and we knew it was right. But emotionally, it was a tough time.
A tough time to go thousands of miles away. And I know that your mom and dad has told me the story several times, how they went out there with you guys and prayed for you, left you and Leah and their only grandson at the time, and they told me that when they went back to Kenya to fly out the next day, they wept and wept. And
yeah.
so it was a difficult time for them, but they were willing to release their own son and let you go to Africa. And you guys spent a couple of years, you said 3 years in Zaire. I know that Gene and I came. We came out to visit you 2 years after you were on the mission field there in Zaire, which is now, I guess, the Republic of Congo.
Yes.
And we saw how you guys were living there in that little place on that dirt road. And we were just saying, oh, God, when the lights go out at night in Africa, it's not a bunch of street lights like in America.
Yeah.
But you guys made a commitment. And then, of course, you decided that the Lord was calling you to Burundi, where you wrote the book about No Retreat, No Regrets. And I know that we were able to be with you during that time that you were scouting out going to Bujumbura, Burundi. And there you started a work. And then the war began. And I remember that the war between Burundi what other country am I trying to say?
Rwanda.
Burundi and Rwanda, it broke out, and they were talking about you guys coming home. I'll never forget, I was there at Trinity Church, and we were asking, do you want to come home? Do you want to come home? Because the war was getting so heated. And you might want to tell the story, but I do know one thing that you said, retreat is not an option. I still use that in my faith declarations, but of course you were the author of that phrase. So tell a little bit about what you experienced. You guys went to Burundi, and then the war broke out between Burundi and Rwanda.
Yeah, so we had served with the Hagemeyers in Congo, and then God just began teaching in their Bible schools, and we felt, though, that God was stirring us to plant churches, which is kind of funny because I always kind of said, I'll never be a pastor. And so here I am, you know, just chomping at the bit now to plant a church and to pastor a church. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But there in Africa, and that was our introduction to church planning. We felt like we had to plant a church, and through a series of events and a lot of praying, we sensed that God was leading us to go to Burundi. So we left Congo, spent a little time in France studying French, spent about 8 months, and then that was 1990 when we actually left Congo. Spent the first part of 1991, from January till about September, October. We were in France studying French, and then in October 1991, we went back to the continent of Africa, spent about a month in Kenya trying to get into Burundi. We stayed with some friends in Nairobi, Kenya, trying to get into Burundi. And then finally, we made that leap of faith, and we flew to Bujumbura, Burundi, October, latter part of October. And it was interesting because there was nobody there to pick us up at the airport. and all we knew was we just had a word from God to go plant a church. And had never planted a church, had never pastored a church. And we just had a word from God to go plant a church. And we didn't even know anyone. We had heard of some missionaries by the name of the Johnsons, the family name. The Johnsons, Carl and Eleanor Johnson, who are just legends in Africa. They'd been there since the 50s. So we had heard of the Johnsons. I think we had maybe met them once before. And so all we knew was the Johnsons lived in Bujumbura. We heard they had a guest house, a little guest wing on their property. So we show up at the airport, nobody to pick us up. I asked the taxi driver, I said, "Do you know the Johnsons?" and he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can you take me to the Johnsons? We need a place to stay." And of course, they didn't know we were coming.
You just went to Bujumbura and you didn't know anybody. Y'all just flew there.
That's it.
Just a word from God.
Just a word from God.
All right.
And of course, by that time, Mandy was born. So Mandy was born in 90. So she was a little over a year old. Tommy was about, I don't know, two and a half, maybe three at the time. So it was just the two kids at the time, and Leah and I went in about maybe 10 suitcases, and we show up to plant a church, and no place to go, no place to stay, didn't have a house to rent or anything. So I asked the taxi driver, "Do you know the Johnsons?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can you take us to his house?" And he said, "Their house," and he said, "Yes." So we showed up at the Johnsons on a Friday, and we introduced ourselves and, you know, told them we worked with the Hagemeyers over in Congo. Of course, they knew the Hagemeyers, and they said, "Yeah, no problem. We have a place. We have a little guest wing. You're welcome to stay as long as you need until you can find a house to rent." So immediately we began to look for a house. And by Monday, we had found a house, and we moved in on Monday, the very next Monday. And so that's how we got set up in Burundi. And then, of course, we had to start the process for getting registered. The church had to be registered before we could actually begin to have services or anything like that. And that was I had made a visit before then, kind of spying out the land, introduced our file, trying to get that process going. But nothing had been done on it by the time we moved there. Just our file had already been submitted to the proper offices, and we were just kind of waiting. And I would try to follow it and push it through our file. And for 9 long months, we waited for the approval of our file. And the visas was becoming an issue because we were there on tourist visas, and they would only normally renew those a couple of times. You have to, and when you're there working, serving as a missionary, you have to have a resident permit. Well, we couldn't get a resident permit without the registration. And so there was just a lot of pressure on us to get this registration to even just be able to stay in the country. Wow. And so God just did a series of miracles for us. They weren't registering any foreign organizations in those days. A local person had to be the president or chairman of the organization. It was an unwritten law. So that's why we weren't getting anywhere.
Wow. During that time, Jamie, were you thinking about maybe going back home? I mean, were
oh,
you?
Oh, huh? Yeah. I mean, you know, you always have you kind of second guess yourself sometimes when you're going in the heat of the moment, you know. But the thing that kept us going was we had a word from God to go plant a church in Burundi.
Yeah.
And so we just kept pressing in and praying and standing and believing God. Meanwhile, I got sick with pancreatitis. They were talking about medevacing me to the U.S. And God healed me. Again, that was just another miracle. Anyway, mm-hmm. to make a long story short, they changed the law of the nation. It became a written law that a foreigner could be the president or chairman of a foreign organization because they saw us as an outside organization, as an outside organization. But that law change allowed me now to become the president or chairman of Trinity Church International. 9 months later, we got registered, and then immediately we were able to get our resident permits, and we were able to stay in the country. The church was birthed. But, I mean, immediately from the time we moved there the latter part of October of 1991, and immediately there was a war of about a week that broke out in the city, and it was a real tense time. I mean, gunfire, grenades, mortars, all that we had never heard before growing mm-hmm. up in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And it was a really tense few days, but that was our first introduction to the tensions of that region, and it kind of subsided, and then in 1992, the church was registered. We started having our first services in November of 1992. Then in 93, they had their first democratically elected president who, after just a few months, was in office. He was assassinated. And then that's when things really began to go downhill politically. That's when war really broke out in the nation. At that point, it was mostly up in the hill countryside. It hadn't come yet to the city, but we were hearing reports all the time of, you know, 10,000 here were killed, 20,000 there,
wow.
Schools being surrounded by militia, being burned down with students being burned alive inside of schools, just crazy stuff like that was happening. Then it just kind of slowly made its way to the city where we were, and it was a tense time for actually it would ebb and flow for a number of years, and through pretty much all of the 90s we lived in a war situation. It was all out civil war, and it hadn't touched our part of the city. I mean, it get getting closer and closer, and finally about 1993-ish 94, 95, it really got bad in our area of the city. We had to go to church one day. The church was running about 500 on the weekend. After about 18 months, we show up to church one Sunday and there were 56 people there. And so people were basically fleeing for their lives. They yeah. were fleeing over into Congo, fleeing over into Rwanda. But we, by the grace of God, we were able to stand our ground, and we just kept preaching the gospel. God opened the door. Then later, sometime after that, church built up to a couple hundred people. But the Lord opened a door for us to move into the national theater called the Odeon Palace, at literally the crossroads of the nation, there in the capital city of Bujumbura. We moved into the Odeon Palace. It seats about 800 people. We moved in with about 200 people. In just a matter of months, you know, we were up running around 1,000 or so. A couple of years later, we doubled in size to about 1,600 people. We were running on a regular basis in multiple services on Sundays while all the war is happening in the nation. It was wow. incredible. But the thing that I believe sustained our people, caused us to grow as a church through all that, and actually ultimately brought peace to the nation, was a praying church.
Yeah.
and a church that would have morning prayer, regardless of the AK-47s and the grenades and the mortars and all of it. Early in the morning, you'd hear it gunfire in the background. There goes the members of TCI on their way to morning prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning. We had revival, brother, because people knew it was live or die.
Hallelujah.
And so we would have 250 people show up Monday through Friday for morning prayer. And we prayed, bro. We prayed, and I believe that's what held back an all-out war like we saw happening over in Rwanda. Rwanda, they estimate 1 million were killed. Burundi, they estimate, some estimate, 400, 500, 600,000 were killed in those days. Most of it all happened up country, but we never saw the scale of war in Burundi like we saw over in Rwanda. And I really, really believe it was because of a praying church.
Right. And I remember your dad telling me also, as well as yourself, how that you continued praying even during those days when there was gunfire. One time he went to early morning prayer with you and there was a bunch of tires burning in the roadway. And there was a lot of opposition. So right in the middle of the war in Burundi, Rwanda, and most everybody remembers that, how so many hundreds of thousands of people were killed, you continued. And even there came a call, I believe, from the American embassy that they were gonna fly everyone out. And they told you guys to be at the airport, and they were going to fly out that night. And that's when you declared this, we're not going to retreat, right?
Well, it kind of went like this. What happened was the embassy had been putting pressure on us to leave. And, they feel a responsibility for their citizens, obviously. But they were wanting us to leave. And by that time, we were the only missionary family left in the entire nation with kids. There was one other family who had American family had adopted some kids, but for us, our kids at that time, by that time, Stephen was born. So we had three kids at the time, and the embassy kept saying, "Hey, we're concerned for you guys. You need to leave." And so my wife in particular in those days was really feeling a lot of pressure about mainly for the kids.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the embassy. Security personnel showed up at our front door in their big Land Cruiser. I wasn't at home. I was off somewhere trying to pray and get the mind of the Lord for the services for the weekend. And they show up and they said, Mrs. Peters, you've got to get out of this country. We're expecting all-out war. There's two – in those days, Sabina was still in operation, and they were about the only airlines left coming in and out of the country. And they said, Sabina has two flights left, and you need to get your name on that list and get out of here, because when those two flights have brought in and flown in and flown out, we expect all-out war and the city's going to fall. I don't know what information they had. Of course, they're not going to tell you everything, but that was what they were telling us. And so my wife, after that confrontation with the embassy, she came where I was, and she said, I think we need to really consider now leaving. And I said, "Well, honey, I don't know. Let's just pray, and we'll see what we're supposed to do in this situation." Meanwhile, we put her name and the kid's name on the list to fly out. And I told her, "When I can, I just couldn't leave the church like that." And yeah. I said, "I have to make arrangements and." And once I've made arrangements, I'll join you guys somehow, travel by over across land or whatever. But I'll join you guys in Kenya. The plan was for them to fly to Kenya, I believe, and then I would meet up with them later. But we didn't have a peace about it. We just even though the names were on the list, we just didn't have a peace that it was that God was releasing us.
Yeah.
That our time was not up. We knew it in our heart.
Yeah.
And so I called my dad. And I said, "Dad, and explained the situation to him." And he said, "Well, son," he said, "your mom would kill me. She heard me telling you this, but I think you know what you need to do. You sense you need to stay." And he said, "I sense that's the right thing for you, too." So we hung up with my dad. we called the U.S. Embassy and we said, look, we appreciate your concern and please keep us informed. We weren't looking to be martyrs or anything like that. We just knew we had a mandate to stay. And until God had released us, we weren't going. And so we said, we called the embassy, said, thank you for your concern. Please keep us updated. But really, in actuality, the embassy, U.S. embassy didn't call us to Burundi, and the U.S. embassy can't make us leave. We're staying.
Right.
And so we made our decision at that point. We weren't going anywhere until God released us. And then we look back at that and we're so glad we did. And then that was probably
I want to interrupt you and say that during that time that you were making the decision, we were leading prayer time there at Trinity, and I remember how tense it was as we prayed with the church. I don't know if it was early in the morning we were praying or at night, but as all of this was coming down, we were interceding and praying. And I know that the church in Trinity, I started leading prayer there in 19, in Trinity in Lake Worth, Florida, where you're at now. I know I started leading prayer there in 1987, and you guys are still praying. And I know that this is what BP and radio is all about. It's about prayer and the effects of prayer and what happened. And you could have never made the journey to begin with. So it's one thing to go, and it's another thing to stay. But it takes prayer to get there, and then it takes prayer to stay there.
Yeah.
And so you guys got to Africa. You learned the language, but then it took prayer to stay there, and you stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And through all that situation in Burundi, that's what sustained us. I know it's what sustained us was the prayer that was taking place there, prayer support here at Trinity and others like yourself and different ones that we're in relationship with, supporting churches that have stood, people in the UK, other nations of the world are standing and praying and believing God for us, but for peace to come to Burundi, you know. And it was amazing because, you know, we stuck it out through all that civil war stuff and what we went through. And then in 2000, when peace came, is when God released us to leave Burundi and to turn it over to the hands of the nationals. So our prayer and our desire was to never leave, to have to leave because we were being forced out of the country. But that in peaceful times, when our time was up and we sensed a release, that's when we would go. That was always our desire and our prayer. And God gave us that desire of our heart. Peace came, and that was when we sensed a release that our assignment in Burundi had come to an end, and that it was time now. A good missionary, they say, always works himself out of a job. We laid hands on our national leadership, our spiritual sons there, turned the church over to them. And then we moved on and went to Tanzania to begin to plant other churches, using Bujumbura as a prototype to plant other churches throughout the continent of Africa. And that's when we moved to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. That's another long story where we went through some difficult times. And that's actually when the statement just rose up in my spirit retreat's not an option. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, learning from our experience in Burundi and now going through stuff that we went through in Tanzania, retreat is not an option. And that when you have an assignment, you have to stand and do whatever you have to do until God releases you from that assignment. But that's what we did. We kind of, you know, went through some stuff in Tanzania. And then when we were released from that assignment, we moved on to Zambia. And somewhere through that process, while all this was happening, the church in Burundi planted another church, because our vision became one to plant 1,000 churches on the continent of Africa while we were still struggling with our second church in Tanzania.
Yeah.
And then we moved, like I said, we moved on to Zambia. The church in Burundi planted its second church in Gatumba, which is just there near the Congolese border, the border that borders between Congo and Burundi.
Right.
So they planted their second church there with us even out of the picture we had left, and they took up that mantle and they began to plant churches now. And so meanwhile, we planted the church in Zambia, and then, you know, begin to plant other churches with our spiritual sons across the continent of Africa. So when we left Burundi, there was one church. Now there's four churches, and they're about to plant their fifth church there in that region. And we've got our church in Zambia. We've got our church in Congo. We have a church now, and we've got three churches in Malawi. So we went to Malawi in 2006. Again, just showed up at the airport, didn't know anyone. We did the same thing in Zambia, actually. Went to Zambia, didn't know anyone. Miraculously, just, again, God put, you know, helped us get the registration, get our work permits.
Yeah.
Went through that whole song and dance again in Zambia, duplicated that whole thing again in Malawi, planted the church there, got our work permits, planted one church, actually two churches in Malawi, and then when we left there in 2012, came back to the U.S. in 2013, our spiritual son there, Pastor Wilson and his wife Yamikani, planted our third church in Malawi. So we've got nine churches on the continent with our 10th church to be birthed here real soon in the next few months.
Well, on your way to 1,000. So you still believe you're going to plant 1,000 churches in Africa?
Absolutely. 1,000 churches plus. And we're gonna do it with our spiritual sons who are on the ground. They've embraced this vision, and they're running with the vision. And through them, we're gonna see 1,000 churches planted on the continent in Jesus' name.
Wow! And so, how many years were you in Africa?
We were there for a total of 25 years.
And you are still involved, even though you're the pastor. You've succeeded your father at Trinity Church International. You're still involved in Africa.
Absolutely, and I'm in contact with our spiritual sons all the time with emails, phone calls, helping them pray through situations, giving them advice and counsel. But these guys, they're doing it, and you know, when you get a spiritual son who's embraced your vision and they're local like they are, they can do a better job actually than you can.
Yeah.
So these guys have proven themselves. These guys have yoked together with us. We've labored, we've prayed, we've cried, we've laughed together over the years. And I have just as much confidence in them as I do our pastors on staff here at Trinity Church International in Lake Worth, Florida, you know?
Yeah.
So those are guys that we're very much connected to in the spirit. And they're becoming spiritual fathers now themselves. They've got spiritual sons that they're raising up. And it's through that we're going to see 1,000-plus churches planted on the continent, I believe.
Oh, I believe that. Well, I know that God has set the world in your heart. And I've said many times, Jamie, that God has used you and Leah in a fantastic way. And your faith is known throughout the whole earth. I've seen it firsthand by being there with you at different places in Africa. The last time there in Bujumbura, I got to minister to the president and the vice president and the leaders, and got to mention your names in front of all those guys at the presidential palace. So you guys have made great inroads, and today I'm going to have you to pray for those that want to do the will of God. And I believe the bottom line of our lives is doing the will of God, and there is a way to do it, even if we have to fly to a country and ask the taxi driver to take us to the Johnson's house. And so I believe there are people today that have ministry in their heart. You know, Gene and I just yesterday, we celebrated 48 years of full-time ministry. We started out with $100. Our car engine blew up. We had to be towed into our first revival. That cost us $65. So we had $35 left, but we got there. And I just believe there is a way. Amen. I believe there's a way for people to do whatever's in their heart to do. And I know that you have been there, and I know there's great passion when you talk about the world, whether it be Haiti or you talk about it being Africa, wherever it may be. I know that God has set the world in your heart. And I believe that God is still calling people to different nations of the world. I do know that we have a lot of ministers are saying, well, you know, people are coming from different parts of the world to America. We'll just minister to them here. But I believe that Jesus, the commission was to go into all the world. He didn't say all the world was to come to us. And so I just believe that there are people that are listening that have this great passion, but they say, I don't know how to get started. I don't know what to do. And I want you to pray a while, because this is a prayer broadcast every day. Every day we are praying. And I want you to pray in English. I want you to pray in Swahili. I want you to pray in French. Whatever languages you pray in, I want you just to pray a while. And we're going to set ourselves in agreement now. And you know, you've got at least 10 minutes you can pray in different languages. And I believe the Holy Ghost is going to move on people, and something is going to be released today. So go for it.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you, Lord, are rule and reign over the nations of the world. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for the nations of the world. And we thank you, Jesus, because you laid down your life one day. Every nation, every tribe, every language, every race, every ethnic group will stand before the throne of heaven and give praise and worship, Lord, forever throughout all eternity, because Jesus, you died for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should perish, or whosoever should believe, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Lord, we agree in prayer right now. Lord, Dale, myself, and others who are listening on BPN Radio, that Lord, you're opening the door for many who are listening today, God, to answer the call. And Lord, you've promised that whatever doors you open, no man can close. And other doors that need to be closed, Lord, you close, and they're doors that no man can open. So we believe supernaturally by the Spirit of God, doors are opening for your servants, for missionaries, for pastors, Lord, for evangelists, for others, Lord, to go to the nations in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray against the spirit of discouragement. Lord, we take authority over the spirit of discouragement, Lord, in Jesus' name. We believe that a spirit of faith arises in their heart, that all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to those who believe. But we believe they're not going to grow weary in well-doing. They're going to continue to stand and believe you to do the supernatural, to open doors for them, oh Lord. And whenever those doors open, they'll have the courage to step through it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we believe that a spirit of courage is coming upon those you're calling, Lord, that, like you said to Joshua, you said, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, Amen. Don't be dismayed, for Amen. I, the Lord your God, I am with you. Yeah. So, Lord, thank you for a spirit of Joshua that comes upon those you're calling to go to the nations. Lord, they can and they will, Lord, for with you all things are possible.
That's right.
So thank you, Jesus. You're making it happen, oh God. You're supplying the finances. You're supplying the partnership. You're supplying the prayer support, Lord. Yeah. You're giving the direction and guidance that they need, and the wisdom of God, the insight. And Lord, just a spirit of we, I can and I will, Lord, of no retreat. Retreat is not an option.
That's right.
Jesus, I thank you that's a coming alive in their spirit even now as we pray. Hallelujah. And whatever challenges that might be against them that would say they can't, Lord, we say they can. And,
that's right.
And Lord, we say they will in Jesus'
right.
name. Lord, doors are opening and they have the courage to step through those doors, and you're supplying and you're providing.
Yes.
And those, Lord, even listening by BPN radio right now that are on the mission field,
yes.
Lord, we pray, be encouraged today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray they wouldn't grow weary in well-doing. Oh, Lord, let them know that if God be for them, who can be
That's
against
right.
them? Lord, we thank you that we ourselves have experienced you, Lord, working in our lives, and that, Lord, you can use us even, Lord, to encourage them as we're doing this interview and praying and interceding that God, if you did it for us, you could do it for them.
That's right.
Lord, coming up with the finances.
That's right.
Lord, the learning languages, God, and how difficult that can be sometimes.
Yeah.
Pray they wouldn't grow weary, Jesus.
That's right.
Let them be strengthened and encouraged. Lord, let them know that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. Lord, even as Lee and I were studying Swahili so many years ago, Lord, you gave us the courage to stand and believe, Lord, a guy like myself, Lord, who was told you can't take a foreign language class because your English grades are not good enough. But God, somehow, some way, you helped me, Lord. And
yes,
we were able to declare one day we'll preach, we'll teach in Swahili, God. And we did, and we still do to today. And even now, God, I pray for them, Lord, in that language that you supernaturally helped us to learn, Swahili, Baba Mungu, Ninawaombea, Wenzangu, Mbao. Wakuna shida ya kujifunza lugha, shida za kipesa, shida za kila aina. Baba Mungu, ninawaombea kwamba uwasaidie, uwawezeshe. Kama ni kujifunza lugha, wajifunze. Kama ni msaada wa kipesa ambao wanahitaji, wapate katika jina la Yesu. Ninawaombea Baba, kibali chako chiwe juu yao, uwafungulie milango isiyoweza kufungwa na mwanadamu, uwafungie milango isiyoweza kufunguliwa na mwanadamu. Fanye Baba Mungu miujiza, fanye Baba Mungu ile isiyowezekana kwa wanadamu. Baba Mungu, yote yawezekana kwako. Kwa hiyo tunaamini ya kwamba unafanya kazi ndani yao, unafanya kazi kuwapitia, na yote yote Baba yawezekana kwa wale wanaoamini. Tunaamini pamoja nao kwamba muujiza inayohitajika iko inafanyika katika jina lako Yesu Kristo, katika jina lako lililo juu ya kila jina mbinguni na duniani. Asante Mungu Baba, kuwawezesha, kuwapaka mafuta, kuwatumia kama chombo chako kitakatifu, kuwatumia Baba wao ambao ni watumishi wako. Hawawezi wao wenyewe, lakini Baba wao wanaweza katika Yesu Kristo, kwa kuwa neno lako linasema kwamba naweza yote katika yeye anayenitia nguvu. Sante kuwatia nguvu, kuwawezesha, kuwa pamoja nao, kuwapaka mafuta, kuwachochea roho za kirohoni, kwamba waweze kufanya yale ambayo umewaita kufanya kwa ajili ya utukufu wako. Tunasema asante Baba, katika jina lako Yesu Kristo tunaomba, amen. Baba, Father God, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors. Again, no man can close. Closing doors, no man can open. That's and right. Just, Lord, making a way where there is no way. Because, Lord God, you are the way maker. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So thank you, Lord Jesus. You make a way. And Father, we thank you that all things are well, they're strengthened, they're encouraged.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for health. Thank you, Lord, for providing education for their children. Oh, God, we know as parents, Lord, the heavy burden that weighs on missionaries as they're embarking to go on the mission field. Lord, should I homeschool? Lord, should is there an international school where I'm going? Lord, you have the answer. So,
yes.
Lord, thank you. You show them the way forward. You
yes.
provide the answers. You make provision, financial provision for it. And, Lord, we just thank you that you connect them with nationals on the ground.
Yes,
because, Lord, the work can't go on without spiritual sons and daughters.
That's
those
right.
that we can pour ourselves into and disciple
right.
and train.
That's
so,
right.
Lord, we thank you that a spirit of discipleship and sonship, Lord,
yes.
is coming upon these that you're sending to the yes. mission field. Lord, connecting them with nationals, connecting them, Lord, with others
yes,
that
Lord.
They can work with and labor
yes,
with, Lord, as you've done for Lee and I over the years, Father.
Yes.
So we thank you that you make all things possible, Lord, for your people to happen so that they can answer the call of God that's upon their lives. And, Lord, we thank you. They'll not give up. They'll not give up. Lord, we thank you. Retreat is not an option. We come against the spirit of discouragement.
Yes.
Lord, they'll not give in to that lying devil in
That's
Jesus'
right.
name.
That's right.
Lord, we just pray in the spirit right now. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
They're going to stand strong, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, they're not going to give up. They're not going to grow weary in well-doing. You open doors. You anoint them. You provide financially.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We think even this broadcast is a word of encouragement for them.
Thank you,
they're
Lord.
They're going to do the will of God.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus'
Thank
name.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus'
Thank you,
name.
Lord. Father, I just speak a blessing upon Jamie and Leah Peters today. And I've followed their journey since 1987, and a couple of great faith. And I know as they lead the church there at Trinity Church International in Lake Worth, Florida, I know that they still have this great passion for the world. I know that they will continue to send people out to the nations of the world. And I know their heart will beat for the world as never before because you love the world. And I'm thankful, Lord. I know that many nations that are listening to BPN, we have had 48 nations to connect with us around the world. I believe somebody is being encouraged today. I believe there's people that have a call of God, and they are determined to do the will of God. And so I bless Jamie and Leah. I bless their kids, their grandkids, and all that they put their hand to do. Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida, great church that we've ministered at since 1987. And more than that, a praying church, a church that prays, and they have not, they've not quit praying. And I know that prayer is the key. So I bless Jamie and Leah Peters right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Jamie, I just sense your passion, You know, passion is something just gets deep inside of us. I discern your passion for the world, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that that you have joined us today. And this book, I would recommend everybody that wants to do the will of God, everybody that wants to be encouraged, that they order your book, No Retreat, No Regrets, One Family's No Exit Strategy While Serving in Africa, Jamie and Leah Peters. And how can they get your book?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just go online, and you can either get the get the ebook or the hard copy on Amazon. Just go to Amazon, and it's all available right there.
Okay, just go to Amazon. No Retreat, No Regrets, Jamie and Leah Peters, pastoring there, Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida. Thank you so much for being on today. And I know that you've encouraged so many people. I know there's many great reports coming, and I believe that revival is coming to America. I believe that revival is coming to Africa in a greater measure.
Amen.
And I believe you're going to be able to plant more than 1,000 churches.
Hallelujah. I believe it.
Yeah. Thanks Amen. For being on today. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Daddy Dale, love you guys, you and Mama Jean. We appreciate y'all, and thanks for your prayers. Thanks for standing with us. We love you, and thanks for having me on BPN today.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.